The Apostle Paul, who's incarcerated for preaching the gospel and for being a Christian soldier who knew how to get behind enemy lines.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Paul is writing in 2 Timothy as well, his last letter to Timothy, who is his son in the faith. In the 4th chapter, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A good minister. Say good.
Good.
A good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Then 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would look there, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, a good minister, and not a good soldier. Verse 4, he moves to the athlete. That's a good athlete. He's just not being redundant in terms of the good, but the good soldier. He moves now, and he wants us to see. Here he's shifting, I beg your pardon, in verse 5 and talk about the athlete. Verse 4, no man, still talking about a good soldier, warth, entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5, the athlete. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Then he moves to the farmer. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. And all God's people said amen,
amen
and amen. Come on, three people, give them a high five and say, I'm glad Jesus is alive. It's all about him, and he's alive. We thank God for this past week, our president and first lady, Barack and Michelle Obama, came for the memorial service here at Fort Hood. General Cone and General Casey and our governor, and so forth and so on, and all of them were here this week, and we thank God for all the safety and answer prayer. And then our very own Natasha Hartley, isn't that awesome? And from what I understand, Natasha, she always confessed she was going to sing before the president. And your confession is your possession. And they chose her to sing, and we are very thankful and grateful that she always represents so very, very well. Tonight I want to talk about a good soldier in honor of Veterans Day. I want to talk about a good soldier. You know, the pastor's mantle, the mantle of a pastor is to be a model. He's to be a model, a mentor, and motivator. And when Paul says, be strong in the grace, when he says be strong, he's emphasizing to Timothy, who's a pastor, that Timothy, you must be a model, a mentor and a motivator. That's what the pastor's mantle calls for. And the pastor's ministry, now watch this, the pastor's ministry, it calls for the pastor to prepare the members, to prepare them and then prove them that they may be powerful in the ministry. If a ministry is going to be powerful, it's because there are people who have been prepared and proven. And when we say proven, we're talking about fat people. It's the pastor's job to put meat on the bones of the members. And we ought to have fat members. And when we say fat, we're talking about what the scripture is saying here in verse, notice again in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Faithful, that's a fat person. F-A-T, this acrostic format is what I'm going to use all night tonight, but fat, F is faithful. And then who shall be able, that's A, not only faithful, but able. And then they ought to be teachable, to teach others also. So that's fat. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a fat man. Go ahead, or fat woman, go ahead. Some of you ain't confessing that. Amen. You say, my confession is my possession. If Minister Hartley confessed and she sang before the president, I'm talking about spiritual fatness though. Faithful, able, and teachable. Now that's enough to just shout hallelujah. To preach on. Paul says in First Timothy chapter 4, our text, Paul says, a good minister of Jesus Christ. And so he has not left the train of thought in 2 Timothy where he says the good soldier, because to be a good minister is to be a soldier, is to be an athlete, and it is to be a farmer. Those three metaphors Paul is using that qualifies what a person is in terms of good. Now, when he says good, we have to always remember, according to the Bible's definition of good, we don't know what's good for us. So the scripture says we ought to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and all, that's not some, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path, or he'll show you what is good. Write this verse of scripture down. Micah 6:8, it says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the first time we read about good is in chapter 1. And he says that God made everything, and God said it was good. And then God concluded with very good. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14, it says that when we are mature, we're no longer just feasting on milk, but we are eating meat, he says, discerning between good and evil. And in this ministry, as your pastor, I have endeavored over the years to teach us how to discern between what's good and what's evil. Is what is good and what is God, meaning God has to show us what is good. He has to show you what is good. And this is what we are endeavoring to discover through the Holy Spirit, teaching us tonight that he can show us what a good minister is. It represents this concept of a good soldier, a good athlete, and a good farmer. Now, since we are commemorating Veterans Day, I want to stick in here with a soldier. I'm not going to deal with the athlete, and I'm not going to deal with the farmer. We'll come back at another time and show you how it's all amalgamated. All of it's in the pot, but how that each one represents an ingredient in terms of making us the kind of member, which is minister, that Jesus Christ says is good. Now, the interesting thing here is when he says good soldier, he's not using good soldier in opposition of bad. He's not saying, well, okay, you got bad soldiers too. We understand that. But he said, no, you got soldiers, but then you got those who are good. And everything, and we want to qualify that, in everything, whether it's in the sports, again, athletes, we can talk about a person who's a basketball, football, whatever the sport is, we can say that's whatever they are. But then there are some who we say, now he's good. Are y'all hearing it? Now, see, you can be a member. And that's good, but it's good on a surface level. But then there are members who are good members. You can be a husband. It doesn't mean that you are a bad husband, but you just may not be a. Now, when he's using this word good, he's saying already he's giving you credit for being whatever it is in terms of if you are in the Lord's army. He said, that's good. But now he moves it in the Old Testament from good. God said this. Everything God made was good. Then God added and he says, but this is very good. Because this word good that he's using here, write this down, is the Greek word K-A-L-O-S, kalos. And it means, without going too deep into this, because I want to get right into this acrostic format of a good soldier, but this word kalos, he means good in the sense that you move it from good, better, and best based upon what you invest, based upon what you put in it, based upon your effort, then it moves into the good soldier, not just the soldier, not just an athlete, but it's good, better, best based upon what you invest, based upon what you put in it. Hello. All right. Are you hearing this? Now, there are, let me throw this in, and I want to throw this in parenthetically because I want you to see the emphatic emphasis tonight is on soldier, is on the soldier. But the good is important because he's not saying that if a person is not a good soldier, then they are a bad soldier. They're just a soldier. They're just an athlete. They're just the farmer. But it's not good because they're not willing to invest their best. Are y'all picking this up? Are you getting with me? All right. Now here's what I want you to see. The three prerequisites for winning anything, being good in terms of being good in anything, winning anything, passing any test, the three prerequisites. And then three ingredients. The three prerequisites, number one, is preparation. You got to have preparation. If it's a fighter, you can't wait until the night of the fight to start training. It's too late. You haven't invested your best. Hello? So there's preparation before, meaning you got to prepare. A soldier's got to prepare for warfare. He's got to prepare before the event take place. A person has to what? Prepare. So there's preparation, but then there is participation. You got to participate. You can't just put the uniform on and sit on the side. Hello, you got to get in the game. I said you got to participate. It's not enough just to wear the uniform and say, I've made it. And you can make the team and still not be a good player. Hello. And they'll throw you in, you know, when they're, you know, when they're so far ahead. Glory to God. So it's preparation. Then it's what? Participation. And then there is the preservation. Meaning after the event is over, you still got to preserve. You got to keep your edge. You got to keep your training. You got to keep. Am I teaching this right? You got to keep your teaching. Even when, listen, in the military, even when you take the land, you got to, listen, you still got to preserve it and leave some soldiers there to keep it or you lose the ground that you got. Man, this is good. Even when you get out of high school and get out of college, if you're going to be good at whatever you went and you studied for, you got to keep your studies going. Thank you, Harold. I know you're with me tonight. All right. Now, that's the prerequisite. But here's the ingredients. The ingredients, these three things are involved in the ingredients for every one of us. And that is the good soldier, The good soldier, say good soldier. Now it's right here. I want you to see. Verse, look at verse 3 once again. Lift up your voice and declare it. Go ahead. A good what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. So the good minister is a good soldier, which is the soldier has to be dedicated. Dedicated. Whatever you do in life, if you're going to be good at it, you got to be dedicated. The athlete has to be disciplined. The good athlete has to be disciplined. Whatever you do, if you're going to be good at it, you got to have some
discipline.
Got to have it. You got to have it. Teaching is not enough. You have to be trained. Valerie's verse of scripture. Thank you for that agreement. Glory to God. At least two of us are already on track together. But Valerie's her favorite verse of scripture, what is it? Isaiah 1:19. But now, I believe it's in verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 1. He says, learn to do well. That presupposes you can be doing something and not doing it well. And the reason why you don't do it well is because you never learned how to do it in the first place. Man, this is good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Elder Holcomb's book on marriage matters. You can get a marriage license and never have to be tested on whether or not you're going to be good at it. Just get the license and go ahead in there and rock the boat. Hello, glory to God. The whole sailing throughout your marriage is a rock in the boat. No smooth sailing. Why? You haven't learned how to sail. Hello. So a good soldier is what? Dedicated. A good athlete is disciplined. And a good farmer got to be devoted. You got to love whatever you're going to be good at. Man, this is good already. I ought to charge you for this. According to the book of Timothy, he said, charge him. So I'm charging you with this. All right, now let's break this down. Did you get that? Now, whenever I come back and teach about the athlete, or one of the elders teach about the athlete or the farmer, whatever, those three ingredients, listen, they are amalgamated in each one of them. The farmer's dedicated, but he also has to be disciplined, and he also has to be devoted. The soldier has to be devoted, and he also has to be disciplined. And he also, are you following it? All three of these ingredients go with every one of them. If we're going to be a good minister, then you have to be a good minister by being a good soldier, athlete, and what is it? And farmer. You got it. Glory to God. Now, in verse 3 again, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. So we understand now what this good implies. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Now let's break down the acrostic meaning of soldier. S is sacrifice. A good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, a good minister, you got to make sacrifices in your life. And sacrifice, it deals with this concept of not feeling but following by faith. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. I'm doing this in honor of our soldiers and our fallen heroes. But I want you to think about this because it's a sacrifice. I've never seen a soldier yet who said, you know, Whippy, the thing I want to do is go over to whatever the country is, and right now Afghanistan, Iraq, and say, Whippy, I want to go over there and kill somebody, or I want to go over there and die. But it's a sacrifice. Jesus never used the word feelings with his disciples. I keep saying that because some people only come to church when they feel. And feelings are degenerative. In the Bible teaches us, and we have to see what is good. God says, he's not saying it's not good for you to have feelings. He's saying don't depend on them, because feelings are degenerative. The Bible says that Jesus, yes, he's touched with the feelings of each and every one of us. He knows exactly what we go through. There's not a person in here that he has not taken the time out to number the very hairs on your head. He says, I know exactly what you're going through. God, listen, the Son of the living God, Jesus knows what Nate Holcomb's going through. He know what you're going through. He know where you are at all times. But the scriptures teach us he never commanded his disciples on feelings because it's no such thing. You can't command me to feel a certain way if I don't feel it. Are you hearing me? You can't command me to feel. That's why the command is always what? Centered in the will. He commands the will to act, not the emotions to feel. Has nothing to do with it. Because feelings are degenerative. There is a scripture in the book of Ephesians. He goes so far as to say that you can go past feelings, and he even changes the word, and it's called lasciviousness. That when you get past feelings, meaning in essence, you need more of what you felt in life. You end up needing more and more and more of the same kind of feelings to get the same thing you felt. That's how folk OD. Because you start off, when I was coming up, it was only, we called it a nickel bag. You get a nickel bag, no matter what, that's $5, that's all. $5, not a real nickel, but $5, that's what it costs you to shoot up and do whatever you want. And after that, it goes up. Why? Because you're still trying to get the same high that you got. The first time you got that high off of $5, that was as high, as high, as high as you can get. And now you need, listen, $10. Now you need $100 to still get you the same $5 high. Hello? To get you the $5 high, and before you know it, you're trying to get where you were, but you end up OD, overdosing. And it's called, you're going past feelings now. See? And this is why we can't depend on feelings when it comes down to following God and the things of God. You can't depend on them. All of us are going to be attacked with sickness and disease at different times. It doesn't mean that you are the sick. It means that you are the well whom the devil is trying to make sick. You got to rock steady. You got to stay with it. You got to keep confessing it. Hello. Hello. And it shall pass. At least this side got it. Let me work a little bit over here with our elders and deacons a little bit. So you got sacrifice. We don't want to depend on the feelings. And that's why people fall in love and fall out of love, because they feel a certain way. And then they don't feel that way, another day. They don't have that feeling. That's the way it is, period. Sometimes you like your children. Sometimes you don't. It doesn't mean you don't love them. I didn't ring a bell. I said, yeah. I'm trying to stay out of your neighborhood. I don't want to come down your street tonight, your boulevard. But somebody's pulling on me tonight. And so it's sacrifice. Say sacrifice. A good soldier knows what it is to what? Sacrifice. You pick up your weapon and you follow me based upon the command. It's a sacrifice. But then under soldier, thou therefore endure, what is that? Hardness as a good soldier. The acrostic format is S, sacrifice. O is owner. Ownership. Or we would say, I would say our. Our. A good soldier know what it is to be our. And when I say ownership, it's ownership through stewardship and partnership. Now, that's a little strange, perhaps, if this is the first time you ever heard me even use that concept in terms of ownership, because we don't own nothing apart from the fact of our partnership with Christ. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so in the Lord's army, like in the natural army, something about the soldiers, we understand if we're going to make it as soldiers, you got to have an understanding of the partnership or the buddy system. Hello. We're taught, what is it? The buddy system. I like to call it we-ism, not me-ism. We're better together. Hello. And so it's in this ownership. See, and here is the thing about this ownership piece too. Ownership, it deals with my country 'tis of thee. See, it's my country, but isn't it your country too? It's ours, but the soldier understand my country, meaning something that you love. That moves us to this L. The L is loyalty, or we would even say liberty. See, a soldier, a good soldier, I'm talking about a good soldier, you know, when it comes, let me just say this, Valerie, when it comes to this concept, mother, of, oh, our, see, our church, our whatever, my country is not mine because I own it. It's mine because of my unionship. It's mine because of my citizenship. It's mine because of that stewardship. Hello, my. When it's something that you love, you say my. If it's something that you don't love, see, the prodigal son, when his younger brother came home, he never said my brother, not one time. Not one time. But he said to the father, but as soon as this, thy son, well, if this is your father and he is his son, then what that makes him to you? See, a lot of us, we have this concept of my father, but that's God's son too. That's God's daughter you're beating on. That's God's son. Hello. So, in other words, when we understand my, it's because you love. That's my pastor. Because you love your pastor. But if you don't, then you never say my pastor. You say thy pastor. You never say my church. You just say I go to church. Thank you, Glenn. I'm getting help over here now. I'm still working with them. There's some work to do over here with these deacons and elders. And so L, it deals with liberty. A good soldier is always on the defense to fight for someone else who can't fight for themselves. Talking about a good soldier, the soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are a soldier, you stand for liberty because you go and you liberate. And you stand for the liberties that we have and you're willing to fight for it. You train for it. Hello. I'm talking about a good soldier. So it's sacrifice. It's what? Ownership. It's what?
Loyalty.
And liberty. Loyalty. Now the thing about loyalty, you know, when the president stood there and he had that big American flag like we got over here. Was behind them. You see that flag standing there, Juanita. And then the generals got up there and they saw that, and that flag was there. But when they panned that audience and they saw them soldiers and each of them soldiers, their flag wasn't as big, but they had one on their arm. Why? Because you see, it represents not only the liberty, but my loyalty. Hello. In other words, let your flag fly high. I told you the story. It bears me reiterating. And that is during the Civil War, when the Union would come into this southern town, they would pull down their southern flag, and they would put up the Confederate flag. They would put up the Union flag. And then when the Union army would leave, they would take it down and put the Confederate flag back up and so forth and so on. And while they were coming into town, they start changing their flags and so forth and so on. And this little old lady, she came out there and she was swinging her broom. And the captain looked at her and said, old lady, you can't hurt me with that broom. She said, I'm not trying to hurt you. I just want you to know whose side I'm on. Say, I know I can't hurt you. I just need you to know whose side, my loyalty. See, we're not just, and we taught this before, in terms of loyalty, is not just your your alliance, it's your allegiance. So we have alliance with other nations, but our allegiance is with our own. Now we have alliance with other folk. We're friends with you. We're in this thing together with you. We're on the same planet together with you. But our allegiance, our loyalty goes to our nation, our country. And Jesus said that we should have that kind of loyalty even when it comes down to your church family. One of the reasons why I thank God that every time we have the right hand of fellowship, people stand and say that I came to this church. I was seeking the Lord, asking him, where you want me to go to church? Here come a bumper sticker. Here come another bumper sticker. Here come another bumper sticker. One of the purposes of me, I'm not a bumper sticker man. I'm not a man to put a lot of stuff on my, you know, clothes and stuff like that. I'm just not a bumper sticker man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm just not a bumper sticker man. But when I recognize what is symbolized, that people are being led to the church and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, just because a bumper sticker is on my car, what it says to people is that that man is proud of the church he goes to. He's proud. He's proud of his church. And people are looking for something they can identify with to say, I want to be loyal to. Hello. There's nothing more distasteful than a disloyal whatever. A person that does not have fidelity. Out of everything, and listen, this gives nobody a reason, because I'm going to ring this bell for divorce. But out of everything, God recognized disloyalty, infidelity. God says, you know, infidelity, sometimes you can't, because that's disloyal is in the heart. And sometimes a person, you know, because of our ignorance, all kinds of things, a person end up committing adultery and stuff, and they have to win that person's heart back. And you can win the person's heart back if it's true blue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If it's true blue, when you true blue, you don't care. See, it's like the two thieves on the cross.
Yes,
one thief just said, get me off. Get me down. Get me out. Get me off. The other thief, he wasn't even trying to get off. He said, Lord, just remember me when you come into the kingdom. That's all. Just remember. I ain't trying to get off. I ain't trying to get out. See, that's loyalty. So a good soldier is sacrifice. A good soldier is ownership, is loyalty. But then D, isn't D in soldier? D, it represents a discipline. I said that, didn't I? Discipline. One of the gurus in the early stages of positive thinking and all of that, Earl Nightingale, said 95% of the people, this is how he said it, mother. He said 5% of the people, they make everything, while the 95% of the people wait until they make it, then they buy it. 5% of the people, they do something, while the 95% of the people sit around and wait until they do something, then they go see it. 5%, listen, only 5% of the people will invest enough in their discipline that they will excel and achieve their goals. And the reason why 95% of the people, 95% of the time don't, is because they won't have a coach, a pastor, someone that can encourage them. Out of all the members of the house of prayer. Now, you got people who's going to school and doing all other kinds of things. But there's only really about 10% of our congregation here tonight. In this field, but that's why we come here. Now, we're shouting over that. We're shouting over that. But everybody that's not here is not here because they're doing something active to better themselves. Some of them didn't come because they didn't. Some people stay home because they want to see something that somebody else is doing that's not going to improve their quality of life. They know all about it. They spend all their money on it and getting it, and it hasn't made them better yet. Go see all of this, see all of that, do all of this, do all of that, and never have a coach.
My.
How is it that those who are on the team after high school, after college, now they're in the professional and they still need a coach? Still need a coach to motivate them to do what they have been trained to do. To get them to run, to get them to box, to get them to, you know how to do that. You've been trained to do that. You have already, you are the champion. And yet and still, when they go to fight the next opponent, they have to have a coach. I don't care who they are. And there's only out of any, you name the profession, only 5% of the people end up excelling because they do extra or they do what 95% even on the team won't do. See, my job is to encourage you to do what you don't want to do so that you can get what you really want to get. I'm still working with them. Only 5% of people excel to make the investment to excel. So the discipline is so important. Did you get that?
Yes.
Discipline. We got to be disciplined. Whatever you get, whatever you do in life, you got to be trained and disciplined to do it. And the people don't want to, including me. Hello. But you don't do what you feel when you talk about discipline. I ain't getting much help up in here tonight, am I? S-O-L-D-I. I ain't gonna spend a lot of time there either. I is identity or the individuality even in the uniformity. See, to the glory of God, during our memorial service for that November the 5th, tragic shooting attack on our soldiers in the Soldier Readiness Center. As the president was memorializing the people who lost their lives, a marvelous, just marvelous job he did, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And
amen.
Even though all of them wear the same uniform, yet he was expressing they had different talents and gifts and things that they like. See, even in uniformity, there is identity. You never lose your identity. When you become a soldier, you understand uniformity. We in this together. We're in the same uniform and so on. But you never lose your identity. You don't go and join the army to get an identity. You have to have an identity before you join. Many people, they go to school and they end up switching their major because somehow along life's highway, they discover what they're good at. What they like to invest in, what they like to put their whole heart in. And then they switch over because, you see, they just knew I need to go to school or I need to join or I need to do this, that, and the other. But then you need to marshal your identity. I'm going to teach on that about the athlete. Because 2020 just had a well-renowned athlete on tennis player, and he says that he never liked it. He said, I never, did y'all see it? He said, I never liked it. My father, he said, I was paranoid. He said, those balls was coming out at him at a young age, but his father made him. He said, I never liked tennis. Never liked it. But he was made to do it. Hello. See, you have to discover something here. And then you invest yourself and something God put in you that you like. A good soldier, he has to be a person who has his own identity, even in his uniformity. Remember when we talked about the unity of agape? Do y'all remember that? The unity of agape. Unity consists of, what is it? Diversity, number one. Diversity, meaning you are different. You have to understand, even in unity, we're not the same. So in unity, there is diversity. You have an individualism about yourself. It doesn't make you, because you're different, it doesn't make you better. It just gives you the understanding that you're different. That's the reason why it's not wise to compare ourselves by ourselves. Because the next thing is harmony, meaning that I got to harmonize with your lifestyle. Saeed, you're different, so therefore I'm different, therefore we harmonize with one another, meaning civility, that civility is in the same community. I can get along with other people from different religions, and so have you, because we're in the same community. So I can respect your difference. And yet I still say Jesus is the way. And you can say there are many ways, or this, he's just one of the ways. That's why we're not in the same church. But I can still have civility. Romans chapter 12. Don't tell me I'm not preaching this right. He says, as much as is possible, live with all men in peace. So in the community, see, y'all got me on this right now. But community, it's come in unity. It's a compound word. It's come in unity. That's how you spell community. It's we come in the unity. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Meaning we accept, listen, we respect the difference, and it's called civility. Uh-huh. We don't need to get hostile about everybody's not going to be like us.
Right.
And yet we got to preach it, we got to teach it, and so forth and so on. And yet God reserves the right if a person, because we're not automatons, we are free moral agents. If a person says, I want to go to hell, God lets them go. Now, how in the world are you going to make them go? Because if you try to do that, then you're taking the place of God. God's got to matriculate this thing all the way back to Adam. And Adam can stand there and say, now, why didn't you make me just not eat that fruit?
Yes, sir.
You should have made me not eat it, God. Wasn't God there when he took?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't he there when Eve took it? Wasn't God, how come God didn't slap it out of her mouth and say, don't eat that, Eve? People, it's two immutable things that God will not ever do. He will never do it. That is his word, and he will not change. That is his promise and his performance, two immutable things. It's impossible. God can never do it. If he doesn't, God ceases from being God. And if we get into that debate, well, God can make you do anything, then how come God won't make some people tithe? God can make some folk do everything but get in their pocket. Get in their pocketbook. Hello?
That's good.
Let me let you go. S is what is it? Come on. The good S is sacrifice. O is ownership. L is loyalty. D is I is E is endure. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure. Say endure.
Endure,
endure hardness. See, a soldier has to endure. Another word for this endure is over in the book of Ephesians. Just write it down. Ephesians chapter 6 and the 18th verse, where he says, "And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." The word perseverance there. Proskartaresis is the Greek word. If I can get you to say that, you'll be speaking in tongues, won't you? This word is perseverance, meaning there is no giving up in you. You will endure. You stay with it. Another word for it is persistence. Your persistence will always overcome Satan's resistance. He doesn't have enough power to stop you if you stay with it. You got to endure. Hello. And him coming against you as long as you stay with it. Write this scripture down. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. It says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If you faint in the day of trial, it's because you were not strong in the Lord. Your strength in him was small. So you, a soldier, a good soldier, must endure. There's no quitting, no turning around. No turning around. We're going to stand our ground. No turning around, no quitting. Soldier, S-O-L-D-I-E. And the last one is R. A good soldier's got to be ready, Al. Just write it down, ready. I'm ready. He's got to be ready. Ready for what? He has to be ready to go when commanded. And our soldiers were attacked at the soldier readiness center. See, they were getting ready to go. Now, isn't that something? I thought about it tonight, too. I just thought about it on my way here. You got to be always in the ready mode, the ready center to go. You got to be ready to go with the Lord. You never know when it's going to happen. How many times over close to 30 years I've been saying, you won't have time to go and get ready. That's what Jesus teach. He said, you got to be ready. You don't have time to go and get ready if you're not ready tonight. If you're not ready to die. That's the bottom line. Suppose something happened and you have not gotten it right with God. You got to be ready to go. A preacher was praying with one of his parishioners and he began to weep and cry. And the pastor said, you don't have to cry, son. So, you know, you're saved and you don't have to cry. And he says, you're going to heaven. He said, I'm not ready to go. He said, what do you mean you're not ready to go? He said, I haven't lived for God. He says, I know I'm going to go to be with the Lord. I'm ashamed to die. I haven't gotten it ready. See, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I'm talking about a good soldier always going to fight a good fight. A good minister is always going to be a good soldier. And a good soldier is always going to fight a good fight. Paul says, I fought a good fight. Paul says, I finished my course. He says, I'm ready. Read it. He says, I'm ready to be offered up. So you got to be always what? In a ready mode. The French Legion Army has a slogan. And their slogan is, I love it. Their motto is this, Dr. Ellie. They say, if I falter, push me on. If I stumble, pick me up. Lift me up. If I retreat, shoot me. That's the French Foreign Legion. If I falter, push me on. If I stumble, lift me up. If I retreat and go to run, shoot me. You got to be ready to fight. You got to be ready to war. You got to be ready to go into prayer. You got to ready to get into intercession. You got to be ready. You got to ready to praise him. You got to be ready to pray. You got to be ready to praise. Come on, somebody. You got to be ready. You got to know how to bust a move on the devil. When he makes his move, you got to be ready. And listen, friend. Listen, friend. As I close with this, in terms of a good soldier, is one of sacrifice, is one of what? Ownership, loyalty, discipline, identity, endurance, readiness. He's in a readiness mode. And there is no it doesn't, listen, it doesn't stand for retreat. The armor that God has given unto us, Pastor Valerie, there is no armor for the behind. The devil will have no business seeing no one's behind. He doesn't have no business seeing that. Hello? No. You got the whole armor of God on. You got the breastplate of righteousness. The loins girded about with truth. Your feet are shod, meaning you're not moving nowhere. After you've done all to stand, Michael, he said, now you stand. You don't give up no ground. He don't say, well, you know, after you've done all, you stand out. Turn, man. Turn around and run. There is no retreat. You stand ready and you stand and you watch the salvation of the Lord thy God. You don't move down. You don't backstep. You don't backstep. You don't sidestep. The watchword is moving forward. And let me just throw this in parenthetically. What a cause a person to retreat and not be ready is, number one, if they compromise. Peace at any price. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. Peace at any price, man. No compromise, Elder Solomon. No compromise. You can't negotiate with the devil. You let him know, again, I'm not for sale. I'm not for lease. You can't even rent me. Let him know you can't even rent me. I told you before that hunter was out there in the forest and he saw the bear. And just as he got his sight on the bear, I'm going to get ready to bring that bear down and give it pull the trigger. The bear said, wait. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't pull that trigger yet. Don't pull that trigger. And the hunter said, did that, yeah, I said, don't pull that trigger. Listen. He said, let's talk a minute here. Listen to me. He said, I know why you out here because you're a hunter and you want a fur coat. He said, yeah. He says, and I'm out here because I'm a hunter and I'm trying to get something to eat. He said, let's talk about this for a moment here. And before you knew it, when it was all said and done, The hunter, he had his fur coat, and the bear had his meal. You cannot negotiate with the devil. The devil is the best negotiator around. Did not he start the first parents and the first people with, hey, don't pull that trigger. Did God say to you, don't compromise. Don't listen to what the devil got to say. You tell the devil what Jesus said. Shut up. God is in charge and God's inside of me and you ain't got nothing to say to me. I don't have to live. As it is written. Yes, sir. No compromise, Hal. Because if you compromise, then you listen. You end up with complacency. You end up in complacency. I'm closing. But complacency, you see, it's sitting on your laurels. Complacency is after you have taken the ground, Pam. You say, let's chill. Yeah. We can sit back now. We can enjoy the victory now. You see, that's what got Samson in trouble. He looked back and he thought he killed the lion. And it wasn't the lion that got the man. It was the honeys. You cannot be complacent. You got to stay on the edge, mother. We got to keep the edge. Because if there is complacency, it's because of what? Compromise. And it end up with cowardice. You end up a coward. You no longer want to fight. You lose the fight because you no longer have it in you to fight anyway.
Beautiful, sir. Beautiful.
So it goes back to what we said. No training, none of that. Why? You lose the will to do it. A good soldier, a good athlete, and a good farmer consists of those things. And Jesus said, that's a good minister. And that's what he want every member to be. How about you? Lift up your hands and say, that's me, Lord. I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So therefore, I want to be a good soldier. Sacrifice, ownership, loyalty, discipline, identity, endurance, and what is it?
Readiness.
Giving praise, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give him praise, everybody.